As you continue greeting one another, we just want to highlight a few announcements this morning. Today is a very special day in the life of Little Swatara and other Church of the Brethren and other community members that gather together for Kobe's Family Services Bike and Hike. So what we're going to do at the end of the service, youth, if you're here, this is your opportunity. They'll be greeting you at the back of the sanctuary. So as they greet you, if you haven't had the opportunity to give to such a worthy cause, we would encourage you to see one of those youth standing at the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service and make a donation for a very, very worthy cause. We also just want to highlight September 20th and 27th are Chow Chow Days, and the Women's Fellowship needs vegetables from your garden. Anyone have any vegetables in their garden? I think some of us do. So contact Brenda Brubaker if you have extra vegetables and bring jars to be filled to the ladies' aid room with your name on the jar, please. And then you can help cut and can the veggies on September 20th and 27th at 8 a.m. We are still looking to restart the handbell choir, so if you'd be interested in that, I know we have some people interested, but we'd like to get some times available that you would be able to practice for handbell choir, and just let Mark Meyer know. There's information in the bulletin concerning how to contact him, but we'd love to get the bell choir up and running again. And tomorrow is another exciting day at Little Swatara. The exercise classes begin, so all are welcome to come to the exercise classes taking place in the church fellowship hall on Monday and Wednesday morning. And there's always more information about the announcements I'm making in the bulletin. But we do want to give you the opportunity. Are there any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? No men's breakfast this month. So just mark your calendar. Cross off men's breakfast. If you already have that on the calendar, it won't be this particular month. Any other announcements? Let's rise and worship the Lord. Let's pray together as well. Father, we just thank you for gathering us here in this place. As we rise to worship you, we just pray, Father, we would feel your presence in a very powerful way. We thank you for each one gathered here this morning. Bless them. Whatever is on their mind, whatever's in their thoughts right now, we just ask that we could settle them before the cross and allow us to focus fully on you. We just thank you for who you are, and we come to worship you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We would invite those who are teachers and helpers to remain standing. We want to honor you. We want to make special recognition of you this morning. Those that are teachers and helpers in the congregation, if you would just remain standing, we'd like to pray over you and thank you for your service here at Little Swatara. But look around, those of you that are seated. Perhaps you thought, just for a second, you know, maybe I'd like to teach, or maybe I'd like to help with a Sunday school class or with extended session or with the nursery. This is an opportunity, a calling out to everyone else that, yes, I want to answer the Lord's call to teach or to help. So we just want to pray for these teachers and helpers. We thank you each so very much for what you do on a Sunday morning. We know the time you spend throughout the week to prepare. So let's just reach your hand toward those that are teachers and helpers, and let's pray over them this morning. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the teachers, for the helpers among us. You know, Father, what they go through in a week in preparations. And we just ask, Father, for continued wisdom, for continued guidance, and for patience in the classrooms. We thank you for each student here this this morning, and we pray that we would be teachable. And we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us through these teachers and helpers. May they know how very special they are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, each one. We do want to just add to our prayer concerns this morning. I received a call from Barry Bayshore this morning. He'll be going in for hip surgery this week. We also want to keep in prayer Bob Snyder, his cancer's return, and Nancy as well, and he'll have surgery on the 12th, I think, or the 14th. And then the family and friends that are in Florida, in Texas, and in harm's way with the hurricanes passing through, and want to keep each of those individuals in our prayers as well. There'll be a microphone coming around. We want to keep the Kobe's Bike and Hike in prayer today as well, and anyone that has any prayer concerns, just lift up your hand.
Mary Ann Roberts' husband died early this morning. I'll put her address on the prayer chain for people to send her cards.
I know we already talked about Hurricane Irma that's coming and prayers for all those in this path, but I just wanted to highlight prayers for my cousin Kim Fieri. She's in the National Guard down in Florida and they're activating. She has to leave for a little girl.
I have a joy while I'm standing up here and have a microphone in front of me. I know he's going to get angry for me calling him out here right now, but my little guy sitting right here tomorrow on, of course, of all dates, September 11th, will be 8. So tomorrow is his 8th birthday, and just thank you guys all for prayers for him and for his health, and continued prayers are greatly appreciated, but it's been... Memorial Day weekend was his last seizure, so we've had 3 months now seizure-free. So continued prayers, but again, if you see him, he's going to be mad at me for telling you. But tell him happy birthday. He'll be 8 tomorrow.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your continued presence in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you are very near to each one of us. And we pray, Father, this morning you would be especially near to those that are in the path of hurricanes. We think of Vera's family in Florida. We think of those on cruises. We think of those that we are acquaintances with that we've met along the journey. But Father, we just ask that if it be your will, by your command, that these storms would stop. But we do pray for peace in those families. We know that we have hope through you. And no matter what happens to us, even our very lives being taken, that hope turns us to our salvation. And we rejoice knowing that when we pass from this life, eternity is at hand. But we know, Father, many who are in danger's way may not have accepted you yet, and we just pray for their hearts to be softened, that they would turn to you in this time, and they would seek you, and they would find you, and that they would receive you. And Father, we know on our hearts right now are many prayer requests, those that are facing surgeries. We think of Burl's daughter, Laura, and ask that you would just bless her, and your hand would be upon her, that you would give her a calm that you can only give. We thank you, Father, for your healing touch on many that have experienced your joy in being relieved of pain and being relieved of various illnesses. But Father, we know those illnesses often can come back. And we think of Bob this morning and lift up his surgery that's upcoming. But Father, we know you are the master physician. And we're praying if it be your will, his cancer would be removed in Jesus' name. We pray that too for our dear friend Ruth, that if it would be your will, her cancer would be removed in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for our friends Ruth and John Hoover, and Carl and Faye Bowsbaugh, and Earl and Grace Miller, and Carol and Pete Sanchez, and Eugene and Mary Stump, and Jean Smith and Dorothy Renninger. And we lift up the family of Marianne Reppert, the loss of her husband recently. And we lift up the family and friends of Joanne Moyer, and the family and friends of John Kruger. We know, Father, this life is fragile, but we know there are days where the temptations get the best of us and we sin. And we know, Father, that you ask us to come to you and to receive your forgiveness. And we're just praying, Father, that you would allow us to do that in these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We know, Father, as we face trials in our lives, we know as we face uncertainties, we know that your hand is upon us. And we lift up our brother Barry Bayshore to you as he awaits hip surgery this week and ask that your peace and your comfort would be with him. We praise you that Tessa arrived safely in Guatemala, and we pray that you would use her in that area. She learns Spanish as she acclimates. Father, just bless her and allow her to know your presence. We thank you for the joy that we have with Jerome and Jamal and just the college experience they'll have. And we just praise you for families that adopt children and loved ones, and just pray that you would be with them as they continue to grow. We pray for peace for Gene and for comfort for Gene, Lord, as there's some uncertainty with Children's Disaster Ministry and the loss of her husband and many other things going on in her mind right now. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name for total peace. I lift up the gentleman with broken ribs and pray that you would be with him, Lord, and just allow the recovery to go very speedily. And we just rejoice, Father, with birthdays. We lift up Daniel and we just celebrate his life and the lives of everyone that are gathered here this morning. It's such a great thing to be able to celebrate birthdays and just praise you for Daniel and just the difference he makes in so many lives. The smile he has, the joy that he offers to so many. Just bless him and bless his family. And we pray your blessings upon each one of us as we continue to worship you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all rise and join us in singing hymn number 573? God, no, I'm sorry. What a friend we have in Jesus. As we enter this time of offering, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Our God is big ideas, intricate plans, and long-term dreams for us, and not just us, but all those that will come to know him and his love far into the future. It is not a selfish vision, and he is continuing on, or counting on us, to get the message out there. Some are called to travel the world, some are asked to stay, give, and pray. But we are all expected to participate in his mission of love and prosperity. Would you pray with me? Father, we know everything we have is all because of you. And we know as our church and our times go through changes, it seems hard to stay focused on the big picture, but we just ask that you remind everyone out there in this congregation, Lord, that everything that we do is for you because of you. So, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us. And we just ask that you continue, we continue to love you and do your will, and everything we have and everything we do in your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer safe to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer safe to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Do you think church is a lot like a family?
Yes.
Yes. Every member of this church has a different identity, a special identity. and their own personality. This morning, I've got a story for you. Do you guys want to hear a story? Yes? Well, this story is about a potato family. Potatoes, yes. Each member of this family is going to give you a special identity, and each one has a special personality. It's going to help you figure out how this church is also like a family. This family I want to tell you about is called the Tater family. The Tater family is made up of a father whose name is Dictator, a mother whose name is Sweet Tater, a teenage son called Spectator, and a daughter named Emma Tater, and two children in the nursery. They would be called the Tater Tots. The father, the Dictator, always has to be the boss. He always likes to tell everyone what to do and where to go, and he likes to be in charge. He is his own boss. No one can tell him what to do. The mother, what's her name?
Sweet Tater.
What did I say her name is? Sweet Tater. That's right. She always has something nice to say about everyone. She insists on She never insists on having her own way and never gets mad or get her feelings hurt. She really shows us what the Bible is what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit. Can anyone tell me what the fruits of the Spirit is? Well, are. What's this fruit of the Spirit? I know you guys learned this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And then there's the teenage son. Who's the teenage son? You guys remember? The Spectator. Well, Spectator just does not want to get involved. He doesn't want any jobs. He just wants to sit back and watch. Of course, if they don't do what suits him, he'll jump in, and he'll make sure to criticize. The daughter, Emma Tater, is more worried about how she looks and what she wears to church than she worries about the church. She's always embarrassed that she will get picked on if she's not wearing the right outfit. She wants to be cool. Well, that brings us to the Tater Tots in the nursery. I don't know how they will turn out. Do you have any ideas? They're going to cause a lot of trouble. Well, they might turn out like their parents, the Spectator or the Spectator. Let's hope they make the right choice. Let's pray. Dear God, as we choose the type of church family member we will be, help us to make the right choices. Let us show the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining.
Please join us in God Make Us Your Family. It's in your pamphlet, number 2.
Songs at last, the chaff from the wheat shall be bread. God's kingdom on earth it will come to pass. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. Nations will see their shame. The one true God will be adored. They'll turn from their fortune and fame. God's holy mountain will be restored. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we just ask now in this very moment that you would allow our minds, our hearts to be focused on you. We know, Father, that your word speaks and it has something to say to each one of us this morning. We just pray, Father, that we would indeed have open hearts and open minds to receive exactly what you would have for us. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. There was a minister reading from the opening chapter of Matthew. He started to read, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of... And suddenly, he realized how many times he kept saying, the father of... And finally, he just had enough and he said, and the father of continues all the way down this page and halfway through the next. The father ofs are thought to be the most boring parts of the Bible. Why do we even need to bother to read them? And here's why. Remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. So there must be something significant. There must be something we can learn from these lists. And friends, indeed, there is. There's this really powerful word I want us to say this morning, genealogy. Would you say that with me? Genealogy. So what's the big deal with genealogies? Why do I care to wade through these countless, and he became the father of, not to mention in our passage from Genesis 5, and when so-and-so had lived. So first of all, they help substantiate the Bible's historical accuracy. These lists confirm the physical existence of biblical characters. I'll never forget in seminary how they had us do a genogram in our personal foundations class. Anyone ever hear of a genogram before? Oh, good. A few of you have. Well, here's what we did. They gave us a poster board, and to the far left, we were supposed to write our date of birth, 11/23/1976. And thereafter, as we could remember in class, write the significant events in our lives. For example, I was born with an infected kidney. It was removed at 11 months old. I began to walk at such and such an age, started talking at such and such an age, and life flowed on. I went to school, I went to college, got married to Denise Joy Meyer, and eventually, are you ready for this? Became the father of Abigail Maylin, Malachi Scott, and LaShane Jackson. You see, by knowing family histories, we understand that the Bible and our lives are far more than a mere story or a parable of how we should live our lives. It's authentic. It's real. It proves to be historical truth. Friends, there was an actual man named Adam, and the account is found in our scripture of Adam's family. No, not Gomez and Morticia. their children Wednesday and Pugsley, close family members Uncle Fester, Grandmama, their butcher, Butler Lurch, and the disembodied hand thing, and Gomez's cousin It. No, not that Adams family. We're talking real people with real histories and real futures. Family matters so much that God cares about each person and the details of his or her life. Friends, it may do you well this morning to know that God is involved in your life. He takes an interest in each one of you. Not just Glenn Regal, not just Mark Myers, not just David Brown. Every single one of you. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes my heart go pitter-patter. That is cool to know. So this is the first thing we notice in Genesis 5, 1 to 3, the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Notice it says, Adam was made in the likeness of God. But when Adam had a son, his son was in Adam's likeness, in his own image. Now, let's remember, Adam was a perfect man. Now, we're not talking about Dwayne Johnson or Brad Pitt or Zac Efron or Taylor Lautner. Not even Harrison Ford or Clint Eastwood. Adam was perfect because he was created in the image of God. But then it happened, the inevitable. The knowledge was too much, and he and Eve sinned. A hole now torn in the fabric of what once was perfect. And now, friends, we have children involved, and those children follow in their footsteps. We could say Cain was a chip off the old block, like father, like son. Sin has no boundaries. It's all the same. A sin is a sin is a sin. They had the same strengths and weaknesses Adam and Eve had, yet they still bore the image of God in their lives, as with them, as with us. Now, we get the impression that Seth was a better son than Cain. But things didn't get any better as time progressed. And by the time of Noah, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6, 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And you know, friends, things haven't changed all that much over several thousand years. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in that same book, we're told sin has a price. The wages of sin is death. And that's exactly the lesson Genesis 5 drives home. Again and again, Genesis 5 tells us so-and-so became the father of, and he lived such and such a number of years. Quite impressive, by the way, for the oldest man in the Bible, Methuselah, at 969 years old. And of course, did Enoch ever really die? It simply says God just took him away for walking faithfully with him. To think of it, we're rather blessed to know Verna Gibbles catching up at 101. Many of you are over age 90. But all in all, eight times in Genesis 5, God tolls the bell of death. Tony Evans makes this observation. Funerals used to be solemn but a crude affair. The deceased were placed in a wooden box and lowered by ropes into a 6-foot-deep pool. Nowadays, he says, it's far more stylish. The funeral home's an elegant mansion in many cases. The casket no longer wooden, but a polished bronze bed with cushions. There's makeup artists and hairstylists making us look way better than we did in life. And a whole bunch of people show up to take a look at us and honor us with their presence. A preacher gets up and says all kinds of nice things about you. Then, when it's all over, we get to ride in this fancy car down streets where the traffic is stopped for us. We get to run through red lights, and cars on the other side of the road pull over just because we're coming. Then they pull into the cemetery, and instead of those crude ropes, they lower your body into the grave using silver-toned winches. It's all very beautiful, tasteful, and elegant. But then Tony Evans paused. And he said this: "But you know, dead is still dead. I'm not going to lie to you, friends. The thought of death scared me for many, many years. But the truth is this. We will all die a physical death because the wages of sin is death. Now that we're all depressed, knowing that we're sinking in sin and we fall short of the glory of God, it's time for some good news, right? You see, God had a plan to deal with this tragedy. Praise you, Jesus. It's all revealed right here in Genesis 5. There are 9 men mentioned in this genealogy. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. These names each have a special meaning. Now I got to hear you say, "Tell me what they mean, Pastor Matt." I'm glad you asked. Ray Stedman, he says it like this: Adam meant man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Kenan is sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah declares his death shall bring. Lamech means the despairing. And Noah means rest or comfort. The good news is this: when you put all that together, here's the message we get. Man appointed mortal sorrow. In other words, man is destined to die. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest or comfort. Now, friends, isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it interesting? And let's not forget, this comes from the boring passage of Scripture. We see several times throughout the Old Testament, God declared his intention to heal mankind of the damage sin caused us. The greatest is found in Isaiah 53. He made it clear that this healing would come through the death of someone who would take our punishment. His name is Jesus. Friends, we had a problem. It was called sin. But God had a plan. He's called the Savior. And this Savior, Jesus Christ, came down teaching us how to live the life he had for us. And then he died and he rose again on the 3rd day so that we could know life to the full. But that's not the only message in Genesis 5. Remember that name Enoch? In verse 24, we're told Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. I asked, did he ever die? Hebrews 11:5 explains it further. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. There was this little girl who heard this exact story in Sunday school, and he explained it to his mother. He said this: Enoch used to take long walks with God. One day he walked so far that God said to him, "It's too far to go back. Why don't you come home with me?" Now notice, friends, it didn't say Enoch walked a good life. He didn't go home with God because he walked a moral life. Now I'm sure he did all those things and more, but friends, we can't walk with God very long without some of him rubbing off on us. We can always tell who our kids have been hanging out with, can't we? By the way they act, by the way they talk. But friends, please hear me. Enoch didn't impress God because he lived a moral life. He didn't get to go home with God because he kept all the rules. He cheated death because he walked with God. Don't turn your ear just yet. Too often, people believe that God will be impressed with them if they follow the rules. They believe if they do enough good things, it'll balance out in the end. And when their time comes to face God, they walk up to the pearly gates, tip their hat, and stroll right in. Because they thought all along they earned their place in heaven. They deserve their spot in glory. But friends, the Bible repeatedly points out it does not work that way. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Friends, we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We'll never be good enough. We can't be good enough to get into heaven. We've got to walk with God. You see, family matters. And the most important family relationship is that with God. It's never too late to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's when we decide to turn away from our self-centered way of living, when we decide to make him the Lord, the owner of our lives, when we allow ourselves to be buried in the waters of Christian baptism, and we rise up to walk in the newness of life with God. Friends, it's then we become children of the Most High God. Not because we're righteous, but because he is. And since he's righteous, we've decided to walk with him in the hope that some of his goodness will rub off on us, that we can rub off on others. But that's not it. There's a final message from Genesis 5, and it's this. God wants to give us rest. Remember what Noah's name meant? That's what Jesus promises us. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Many of us have lived a lot of life, and we're tired. We're getting weary. And God's promises couldn't come at a better time. You see, he longs to restore us, to redeem us, to remake us into his image. But we have to make that decision to leave the life we've always known behind. Family not only matters, it forms who we are. And to cling to our Heavenly Father renews us into a child we've always been meant to be, a child of the Most High. Friends, that day will come. We all say goodbye. We can't look back. We can only look at the here and now. What's done is done. Perhaps today you need to forgive yourself. Perhaps today you need to forgive others. But most of all, in Jesus' name, receive his forgiveness. It's a brand new day. And the family before you, just look around. They love you very much and they want to be reunited when you pass from this life into the next as a great family in heaven. There's no love that compares to the love of our Heavenly Father. As the praise team comes forward, And we realize that we have this opportunity to live courageous lives, making differences. May we too recognize the frailty of our own lives. Friends, the truth of the matter is this: we don't know when. We see hurricanes sweeping across the nation. Those people probably never expected they would meet God face to face that day. But we can be ready. We have the opportunity to survey our lives, to look deep within, and to recognize where we're not walking with God, and to turn from that life and to follow Jesus the rest of the days of our lives. Let's do just that. Please rise and join in our closing praise.
So join us if you can. The lyrics will be back here up on the screen to Courageous. I just want to remind everybody, as you read or sing these lyrics, just remember, stand up for yourself, stand up for your family. Most of all, stand up for your God and be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. Lord, make us courageous. We're warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. Now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution, the answer to the call. We will love our wives and children. We refuse to let them fall. We will reignite the passion that we bury deep inside. May the watchers become warriors. May the men of God arise. We were made to be courageous. We're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous. And it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous.
Seek justice. Love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with
in
your God. Seek justice,
mind,
love mercy,
walk
humbly with
in
your
the
God. Seek justice,
heart,
love
and
mercy,
the battle
walk
of
the
hand
with
in
your God.
War.
Seek justice,
mind,
love mercy, walk humbly with
in
your God.
Ahead. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous.
Friends, we know that death doesn't have the final say. We know that Jesus does. And when we walk humbly with our God, knowing that Jesus is Lord of our lives, He will make all the difference no matter what we face. So we can go from this place in peace, knowing that He is our Savior, He is our hope, and He longs to restore our weary souls. Amen.
We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight.
We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous.